So that was Einstein. That was the original recording of just one of the times that he would do that. He would do that all the time. For anybody that doesn't know, if you're listening, unfortunately, I have to tell you that Einstein passed away in August. He was 11 years old, and he was a very special cat. He was an extraordinary cat. I don't know. There's no words that can really describe how good he was. So what I'm gonna do is talk about him, his life, and that's the best I can do. It's been 4 months, and I miss him just as much or more. I don't even this is not going to be about me. I want to share his life with anybody that wants to listen, because he, I mean, I love cats. A lot of people love cats and animals and their pets, you know. So if this helps anybody at all, get through a similar type of thing that you have to go through. It's part of life, you know. But this episode is going to be all about Einstein. So even if you're not a cat person, I'd be glad if you listened to this, because I want to share about his life. In fact, he would have liked you. Einstein liked everybody. He was that kind of a cat. He just was the most human type of a cat. So if you're I by the way, I know I'm not gonna do him any justice by it's not gonna be perfect, but I'm just gonna share what I know of. So from the beginning, I wasn't a cat person, originally. I wasn't. I was, one of my coworkers just came to me one time. This was in 2003, I think, maybe 2004. But she had a cat that had babies, little baby cat babies, kittens, five of them. And she asked me if I wanted to have to take one, and I thought about it. I was conflicted, because I wasn't a cat person at all. I just had an aversion to them. I don't know what my problem was. I just didn't want to have a cat. Or maybe I did. Maybe I did, but I didn't that time. There were five, some of them found homes. One of them got eaten by a coyote. And so she told me that, and I felt really guilty about that. If because that could have been my cat, So then when she later came around and told me, months later, told me that the mom had another litter of cats, five, again, five of them. This time I didn't want to pass it up this time. So I said, yes, I'll definitely come and take a look, And so when I went there, it was on a Sunday, September 26, 2004, and I got there, and I was prepared, I committed basically to get a cat. So I had a litter box and food and stuff ready. But when I got there, there were four of them, at least two boys and at least one girl, but I think maybe two girls. But when I saw them, and I wish I remembered exactly the exact details about that time. I wish I would have recorded it. That would have been Nice. I do remember it, just not vividly. I remember, they were outside in the kind of backyard area in a little box, and one of them, was really super orange, and another one was a little bit bigger than him. And when I saw them, the four of them, I didn't want to separate, one of them from all his entire family, so I asked if I could have two, and I could. And she let me know that boys get along together, cat boys. So I took the two brothers home that day, and we got home, and I opened their crate, cat carrier. And they actually didn't come out for, I want to say, about 1 or 2 hours. They just sort of, they weren't sure. They were kind of scared, because the drive was about 3 miles away or so. They hated the drive, because I guess at that point all they knew was a backyard, their mom, and then the backyard. But the car ride was terrible. I mean, it's just for them, But they got there and they were probably really tired because they've been through a lot, But one of them eventually, the orange one, came out of the carrier and walked directly to the cat litter that I set up. And I was really impressed, because I really wasn't sure what they were going to do at that point. I wasn't sure what cats did in general. But the orange one went to the bathroom first, which was impressive. And then the other one, his brother, followed him and also went to the bathroom. That was the first time that his brother copied him, and I would notice quickly that he was the copycat, and the orange one was the one that
You
went.
can keep going. I'm just gonna get the litter.
Oh, okay.
Here you go, Scrooge.
Speaking of litter, because that's
Here
what
you
I'm
go, Scroogey.
talking about. Hey, Scrooge. Okay, love you. So it was really impressive that they already knew how to go to the bathroom, and I didn't even have to show them. So, or tr you know, train them, teach them. That would have been awkward. Anyway, what? So then I was kind of prepared because I gave them food, but I'm stupid, so I probably had cat food for them. I'm sure I did, but I also, I was used to dogs, so I thought maybe they would want some of my leftover Taco Bell. So I get you know I showed them a plate. I gave them a plate right in front of their carrier, and they rejected it, because cats are smarter than me, basically. That's true. Anyway, I'm gonna keep going. I'm kind of I want to make sure that I get through this and do a good job at sharing Einstein's life. So I'm just gonna keep on going. They took a nap for a couple hours and then finally came out and explored. And I was a bachelor at the time, a confirmed bachelor. Just I had crap everywhere, just stuff, all over the floor, and I had a table of stuff with stuff underneath the table and on top of the table, which is perfect for cats because cats like stuff, and so there was a table that had all my stuff on it, and one of the things, and because I didn't have names for these little guys yet, and I really didn't have anything in mind either. Like nothing was coming to mind, but they made it easy on me. They actually named themselves. Let me explain. I had this portrait. It was a frame. It started out as a frame. It was a gift that my brother gave me for Christmas. A really nice frame, At least that's what I thought it was when I opened the present. And when I said, "Oh, cool, a frame," that's thank you, He, you know, my brother doesn't hold back on things. He just will, you know, speak up if there's something to say. So he said, well, actually, it's not just a frame. I mean, that's Albert Einstein and a quote, you know. It was clearly, you know, when I looked at it closer, I mean, it's right there. Clearly, it's a really nice frame, portrait of Albert Einstein. So anyway, I felt guilty about that, and also I liked that gift a lot more as a result. So that portrait happened to be the only thing that was standing upright on my table of stuff, and these two new cats who explored everywhere together wanted to, you know, cats like to knock things over, I've learned, but on that day. The orange cat knocked over that portrait on top of himself, and I said, "Way to go, Einstein!" And then he took a nap on top of the portrait, and his brother took a nap with him. So that became his name. He became Einstein, and his brother actually also named himself. Because later that afternoon they took a nap, you know, and it made it seem like a good idea. So I took a nap also, not on the table of stuff that wouldn't have worked. But I took a nap, and I woke up from the nap because something was messing with my butt, something, and I woke up and looked, and the cat was sniffing my butt, and I was like, What are you doing, Inspector Holmes? You know, what are you inspecting, Sherlock Holmes? So he became Holmes, and that's a true story that happened the day one. But I fell in love with these guys immediately. I took pictures, videos, all the time. They just changed everything, you know. These nutty little hairy monsters were just all over the place, and they made me happy, you know. I was alone, you know, before that, for a long time. I just kind of a loner, you know. It's just the way I was, but they just brought a lot to I don't know, they just kind of brought some color to my life, you know. And made things interesting. So I would, you know, they would sleep on my pillow, together on my pillow with me on it. You know, they would sleep on top of my head, kind of. They would claw my hair, and they would, you know, sleep with their underbelly on top of my head. Holmes mostly would do that. Still does sometimes, by the way. I found they like boxes, and I would make these little cat castles, box castles, and cut out, you know, like those Mexican style doors, the kind that are kind of like a U shaped, and add things like some of their toys I would put on top of the box. It'd be like a castle with a you know, one of those dangly toys that goes, I don't know. We had a lot of fun together, and they were crazy. There was this time once where I was just watching TV. I may have had a friend over, I'm not sure. It seems like I did, but because I remember just hearing, yeah, I did have a friend over because we were watching TV, and then this clang and clash, a bunch of pots and pans just crashed, you know, in the kitchen, and we just kept watching TV for a second because it was funny, you know. And I got up, you know, a few seconds after, walked around and saw this orange monkey just dangling from the top of the stove, the hood of the stove. And I was gonna help him, but then he got loose. But his claw was just, you know, he was just swinging like some orange little monkey. Anyway, that's one thing. But That was definitely in their first year, because you know, they got big. I mean, they grew up so fast. After the first few months, I went home for Christmas, to Illinois, and I came back, and they were just huge. It's like they ate the previous version of themselves, and just there, you know, there they were. They were no longer kittens, they were cats. After a span of 5 days. And also, I learned that even though cats babysit themselves, yes, that's true, it's better to have somebody, you know, take care of them for you if you're gone. I literally, it was Trailer Park Boys style, where, like, Bubbles, you know, there's this one episode where he leaves a huge mountain of cat food and a one of those kid swimming pools of water. It was kind of like that, but I actually did it. And 5 days later, there was still water and there was still food. And, you know, I gave him extra litter. It was irresponsible of me, but I learned my lesson, you know. And, you know, life wasn't perfect either with these cats. They, you know, Einstein would pee on my stuff. I mean, he peed on my clothes. I mean, really, it was my problem, my fault, because I was the one that left piles of clothes all over the place, clean clothes all over the place. That's just the type of person I was. And Holmes would, you know, chew through cords. He chewed through so many cords. So, you know, I learned that I need to put stuff away and, you know, maybe get a dresser or something. Maybe hang up, get some hangers, you know, and hang up the clothes in the closet that I had. But anyway, they weren't perfect, but I still loved them a lot. But they he did pee and poop where he wasn't supposed to. Well, on my clothes. I mean, there was this one time where I was at work and I had been at work for, you know, half the day or so. Kind of a busy day, probably, I'm sure, because it wasn't till later, much later in the day, that I noticed in my shirt pocket was a dried piece of poop. And that's when I discovered, okay, it's probably time that I, you know, get hangers and a dresser and stuff. So I learned. You know, they helped me out to become a better person, we'll say. So 9 months later, after I had these two cats, my friend had a third, her mom, I mean, my friend's cat, their mom had another litter, a third litter again, five, babies. So I, even though the rule here at this, at my apartment complex, was that, you can only have two cats. But I just wanted to, I didn't care. I wanted them to have, a brother, you know, a third one. So I went there and, I asked if I could have another one. And there were two, there were five. There were two little Einsteins and two little Holmeses. They just looked like, you know, Einstein's really orange and Holmes is kind of white and beige. But there was this other one that was just a solid beige, kind of gold beige coat. Really, really good looking. They're all good looking, but he was just really, you know, really good looking cat, and looked different too. You know, I didn't want to bring home, you know, one more and Einstein, or one more Holmes, and then have the two gang up on the other, you know. So I figured might as well have a. So I mean, he was so good looking that I had to ask permission if I could have him. And she said yes, and I was like, oh wow, you know. So I brought him home, and they got along really well. You know, he was much smaller than them at the time. Cats grow pretty fast, but that he definitely had some time as a kitten. They liked him right away. He thought that they were his mom, because he would try to, you know, he would actually suck on their nipples. So that was pretty funny, because they didn't have any milk, but you know, he tried and they let him. Anyway, he named himself too, because he was kind of kind of squirrely. Like he wouldn't let me pick him up and hold him and, you know, pet him. Like he wouldn't let me. He wouldn't really show the love, you know. He was kind of holding back, like he was a Scrooge with the love, you know. So his name was Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge. It still is. Yeah. And that's about, that's when I started talking to Julie, too, right when I got Scrooge. In fact, because I had these cats, I'm pretty sure, I want to say 100%, you know, we met and talked and got along and are married and, you know, for 8 years now, because I have cats, because I had those cats, you know, just because she's a real animal lover, and that was a big deal, you know. So it was, you know, we have a lot. That's a whole other story. I don't know where I'm going next with this, but I would send pictures and videos, you know, of the cats, and you know, the three cats gave me enough material to, you know, I started doing comedy about a year after I got Scrooge. And enough about that already. I'm not talking about anything, but I want to talk about Einstein. I have a lot of memories of him. You know, when I got Scrooge, I think maybe that's when he, you know, started his jealousy. He was a jealous cat, very sensitive cat. You know, if you were petting one of his brothers, he wouldn't want to even look. Or if you were petting him and then he thought you were about to pet another cat or talk to another cat, maybe even just looking at another cat, he would jump off your lap. And so he was really sensitive. And a funny story, I mean, I'm not going to think of everything, but the landlord here, you know, because I was only supposed to have two cats, but he came up to check out, there was some kind of a maintenance thing or something, and I was, you know, luckily one of, like, Holmes was always kind of hiding when people would come over. Einstein was different. Something about him was that he loved people. Anybody that would come over, he would just go to them right away and hang out, you know. I'm gonna get so sidetracked on everything. But the landlord came over one time you know, he saw Einstein, of course, and I was thinking, just hopefully he just fixes this thing real quick and then goes. But then Scrooge came around the corner and he says, "Oh, who's this guy?" And I was like, "Oh, that's Scrooge, yeah." And it's his brother, you know, about 9 months apart. And then, of course, Holmes is the copycat, you know. So he came out a few minutes later, and he goes, "And who's this guy?" And I said, "Oh, that's Holmes." And he says, "Oh, you know, we only have two cats." And so anyway, I let him know at that point that I had three cats, and it was okay. So that's good. When Julie came along in 2007, she really completed the family, you know, because now we could pet all three cats at the same time. I couldn't pet three cats, just me, you know. And when she was, you know, we talked for 2 years. It's a really awesome story. I would love to get into that sometime soon. We were talking for a long time about who would get along with her first, or who would approach her first, you know. We were so certain that it was going to be Einstein, because he likes everybody instantly. Oddly enough, it was Holmes that came over. And it was so funny. Everything changed, you know, for the better. You know, they needed to have two parents, I guess. But you know, she has a special bond with all of them, and in particular, you know, Holmes and Einstein too. I mean, and Scrooge and Cookie. See, I gotta go and explain a lot. You know, Cookie came along too, 2010, and so we had four cats, and that's a whole other story too. You know, Cookie is. I'm getting way ahead of everything. That's fine. We'll get through it. But I just wanted to. Kind of go chronologically, so that I don't get ahead of myself too much. It's hard to explain, but we just you know, Einstein loved us both a lot, and she just changed everything, and I don't really know how to explain it other than just keep going. So, a few years later, my brother's cat needed a home, and he'd had her in a pet hotel for 6 weeks or so, several weeks. I don't know how many weeks, but it was you know, because he travels a lot, and he recognized that you know. That she needed a home, so we drove to San Francisco and got Cookie. She was, at the time was a, and she's still with us. She's 15. She'll be 15 next month in January. We got her and she was 10 years old in 2010, or she was 9, about to turn 10. Anyway. We drove, and she was pretty much on my lap the whole 16-hour drive from San Francisco back to here. She was so sweet, you know. And we thought, well, she's going to get along with these three nice boys, because they're all really nice. But when we got here, it was totally the opposite. You know, they just, well, it did probably didn't help that these three giant guys that are three times her size. I mean, she's 7 pounds and they were 20 in their 20s, you know, low 20s per pounds. So they all just walked up to her cat carrier and she just growled like the Exorcist or something. It was crazy. And it took months for her to get along, but really the ambassador to that, I mean, Einstein got along with her the quickest and the most, because, you know, Scrooge and Holmes, by the way, they became kind of best friends, Scrooge and Holmes. That, I mean, they were all best friends. They would fight, but Scrooge and Holmes together just, they just got along more often, all the time. They were always hanging out, taking naps together and stuff, so we, in fact, before we got Cookie, we were talking about how nice it would be to get a kitten, but we didn't know. We were talking about it within a week or two, when I found out that Cookie was available. So that was kind of perfect. Totally was perfect. I don't remember what I was talking about, and that happens. That does happen a lot. So, but Einstein, though, you know, he wasn't skittish around her. He just kind of let her, you know, pick on him. And, I mean, she established herself as the in charge of these three giant boys, early on. And that's still the case. But anyway, Cookie and Einstein, became kind of best friends, you know, because Scrooge and Holmes, they are best friends, and so Cookie and Einstein, you know, had each other, you know, for 5 years. You know, they would chase each other up and down, you know, they get hyper together, they would take naps really close. It's rare. I mean, if you knew Cookie, you know, you would know that she is hard to get along with if you're a new cat. Or a new person, too. But then she warms up and she's awesome. But she liked Einstein. She loved Einstein. We all did. I mean, she would, you know, when Holmes would be picking on Einstein, she would come in and stand up for him sometimes. I mean, I remember the first time she did that. It was groundbreaking. It was a first, you know. But she misses him. We all do. We all loved him. I mean, he was the main guy, you know. I haven't even talked about him. I wanted to talk about, you know, how we came together, you know, as a family. So, but I mean, I loved everything about him. Even when he would pee on my stuff, we showed him that, you know, that we loved him too. Because he was so sensitive, I mean, we would give him special treatment. You know, we would say his name, first, you know, when we first get home, and we'd say his name and everybody's name, and then his name last too. When we go to bed, do the same thing, you know, just because we didn't want his feelings to get hurt, because, you know, and he liked that, and even he liked his name, too. I mean, every animal probably likes their name, but his name was kind of cool, because if you say it, Einstein, you know, it's like you're saying his name twice. So, and even the other cats liked his name, too, because anytime we'd be saying his name, you know, they would know that we're all happy, you know. I can't say his name around the other cats still, and it's been 4 months now, but they get kind of weird when I do. Not every time. I mean, it's rare. I mean, you know, when we're watching TV and stuff, somebody, you know, he's got kind of a popular name. People say his name often, so, you know, we can tell their ears perk up, and, you know, they still don't know what happened. So I'm in the spare room with the door closed, because I can't say his name around them. And I've wanted to do this, you know, podcast memorial for him for several months. I haven't, I don't know. It's hard to explain. I stopped doing the podcast because I don't want to, I don't know. I don't even know where I'm going with that, but enough about me. I love and miss Einstein, everything about him. You know, he'd start our day. He'd start our every day with his, you know, his sweet, high-pitched meows. He would do them consecutively. You know, it was just there was nothing like it. I don't know what to say. He would start the day and he would end the day. With those, you know, those little meows. They were different. He had the most unique meow. He had so many. I'm glad that I recorded things a lot, because it helps sometimes. I mean, there's some things that help. I never want to forget him, by the way. I don't feel like people have to, you know, move on from things. I know we have our defense mechanisms, and we don't like to deal with pain and stuff. But I want him to be with me all the time, you know, for the rest of my life. 'Cause he was a really special cat. You know, let me just tell you more about him, 'cause I still feel like I haven't explained anything about him, really. He would get excited about everything. He would like he would get excited about, you know, when we would bring grass home, there's this pet grass. That was one of his favorite things. Anything green, he just liked green stuff. Like lettuce. I mean, we would have to take it away from him, but anytime we'd come home with groceries and stuff, he would go straight to the bag and look for the stuff. He would try to, you know, chew on stuff. The produce, you know, we'd take it away from him. It's not, you know, things aren't good for cats, so you gotta be careful there. But he liked lasers, you know, the laser pointer. He would have a, whenever we would just click the sound, he would instantly know. It seems like he would hear it from the other room if he was in the other room or something. You know, he played with string. I mean, a lot of cats do that, right? But he liked that too. Like catnip. Cats like catnip. Not all of them do, but he did. He was an indoor cat, but he would love it when we would, every once in a while, we would take him out on the balcony, you know, Michael Jackson style, just kind of let him look over the balcony, you know, because of the baby thing, remember? Anyway, he would like that, and then he would meow after. Anytime we would go outside on the balcony, he would kind of complain that he wanted to be out there too. He liked birds. We have birds. I mean, we don't have birds, but birds frequent the outside sometimes. And when there's birds out there, he goes and, I mean, he would go and check them out. He would just stare at them and make these little, you know, fluttering sounds or something. It's hard to explain. I don't know what the right word is, but we had fish for a time, like aquariums, and he liked all of them too. He would just go up and, you know, the other cats really wouldn't be interested in them, but he liked anything that was alive. Like even bugs, he you know, most cats would kill a bug or kill a spider, but he would actually go and hang out with it. He would we'd catch him in the bathtub just hanging out with a daddy long legs sometimes. Just staring at it, you know, he'd follow it along the wall and just hang out and stare at it. Sometimes, you know, he'd reach out and touch one or something. He was so funny. He liked the bathroom. I mean, he liked it when we would go into the bathroom. He would run. He would just go run down the hall and meow. In fact, you know, we have videos of he used to always go wake up and go into the bathroom when Julie would wake up and go to get ready for work and stuff. He would go immediately and she took videos, a lot of videos. We have over 1,000 videos of different cat videos. I don't know exactly how many, but it's over 1,000. I want to say 2,000. We took a lot of videos, you know, a lot of pictures. Never enough, but you know, we took a lot. But he would just, you know, get really, really excited to see us. Anytime when we would come home, he would be more excited to see us than get food. I mean, we would put the food out, but he would still run around the furniture and go wherever we are, and you know, jump up you know, like, I can't think of there's meerkats that stand on their hind legs, but he would do that, and he would reach out with his paws, and, you know, have these really crazy meows. He'd get a puffy tail, too. He was that excited just to see us. And he'd slobber, you know, when we were petting him. He would like dryer sheets. I'm not gonna go into list mode and list everything. I don't want to I don't know. I can't tell you everything that I remember and miss and love about Einstein. I just, you know, like the soft spot on his back. He had a soft spot where if you would pet it, he would get this serene look on his face. He was a real sensitive cat. And he loved life, you know. He was the most human cat, just the most, you know, you'd have the strongest connection with him. And he felt like if a cat could be your soulmate, then he would have been your soulmate, you know. He was ours, and we showed him every day, you know. We showed him how much we love him. We gave him special attention. I think I mentioned that, but anyway, he was really sensitive, and really smart too. And I don't know. That's why it hurts so much. That's why he's gonna be missed. He's missed, and he's gonna be missed, because he was the most outgoing cat. And he went too soon. You know, it was 11 years. I don't think I can. I can let anybody that's listening, I can let you know what happened, but I'm not going to go into super detail about it. I just I'll you know, briefly explain what happened. He was doing fine, you know. I mean, he had a soft belly for 5 years. We went to the vet for that at least once, and they let us know it was just a habit, you know. And I mean, by the way, the vets did everything perfectly. They did everything they could. I don't think it was related to the belly at all. I don't. He was doing just fine, you know, all the way up to till it was August 12th. And I'm already going too much into detail. I don't want to talk about this too much at all, but it was the day after the last podcast that I did that he, you know, late at night he showed signs of being in distress, you know. He was lethargic, and you know, he puked and pooped at the same time, and was complaining, and we didn't know what was wrong. And it was so late at night that we weren't sure if we go to the emergency room 20 miles away or if we go to their vet, which is just up the street, at 7 o'clock in the morning. The right decision was made. I made the right decision to wait it out. We took him to the vet, you know, because he was quiet that night and, you know, hanging out in the closet. It was scary, you know, but it wasn't like something that seemed, it wasn't something that was going to cause a problem that needed immediate attention that night. Anyway, when you're in a situation like that, it's hard to know what's the right thing to do. Is it right to take him on a 20-mile drive, which he hates the car ride, or make him comfortable that night and take him a few blocks away? And that was the right reason. I mean, right thing to do. Honestly, we did all the right things in this whole thing. But that night, that next day, you know, we did all the tests at the vet, and they told me that he had a tumor that day, that they had options to find out, you know, what kind of tumor it was and what to do about it, and you know, if surgery was going to help. So we did every single possible test and scheduled a surgery. And so we waited. You know, I mean, during the tests, you know, it took a day or 2 days, you know, to get results too. We had to wait on lab results. So actually, we didn't schedule surgery until that, you know, a few days later, because this was on a Tuesday. Anyway, like I said, I'm not going to go into too many details, but we 2 days after the problem that night, we were actually. It was hard, you know, to deal with already at that point, because he wasn't acting himself. We were already starting to miss him, you know. I mean, we were thinking of things like, I just kept on seeing, you know, him running down the hall, just in retrospect, and it was like I already missed him, and he was still there with us. And so I just that 2 days later, I just started to. You know, break down. I'm okay admitting it. I'm obviously okay with, you know, I don't really care what people think. Honestly, that's enough about that already anyway. But I was, you know, it was just starting to hit me that maybe, you know, maybe something bad was going to happen. And I was saying, you know, to Julie, I can't believe, like, I can't imagine life without Einstein. And you know, just started bawling my eyes out. And then the guy came out of the closet and hit, and you know, he came around the corner, like he had been hiding in the closet for a couple days, really. And at that time, it just, he came over and consoled us, you know. It was unbelievable. And not only that, but that it started a turnaround, and that lasted 6 days. It lasted 6 days. I know that now, but at the time it just was. It was a second chance for us to be together, be sort of happy. You know, we were worried about the upcoming surgery, but he made a complete turnaround. Though he was himself again for 6 days, and we, even though we gave him special attention for all the years before that, we really gave him, you know, attention that in that last 6 days. And our last night together, we didn't know it at the time. You know, we were optimistic about the surgery, and we were, you know, we were kind of, we were sad those 6 days, but we realized maybe the cats want us to be happy, you know. So we watched Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. That was our, that was the last thing we watched together. He hung out with us, you know, that night. We were laughing and just, you know, we were anxious to get the surgery done. We thought he was going to be okay, but the day of the surgery, you know, and by the way, the vet, they all, he was so nice. Everybody really liked him a lot. Even the doctors, they were like, this is a cool cat, you know. I know they don't just say that to everybody, but anyway, he was in a good mood. It was, you know, we weren't expecting what happened. It's just, you know, during the surgery, they called me and let me know that he just had a. That it was inoperable, so he only had a day to 2 weeks to live. But even if it was that, there could have been an accident or a bad night during that 2 weeks. So it was just, you know, he gave me the option to just not wake him up from the anesthesia. But I said no right away before the phone disconnected or something. I said. No, I need to see him. We need to see him. So we went, and you know, we got to spend an hour with him, but we had to say goodbye. And I don't want to talk about it anymore, but. We were lucky to have that last 6 days together and that last hour you know, to just to talk to him and hold him and so I don't want to I don't want to talk about that anymore. But I have something that's helped me in the last few months, and I think might help sometimes. It's interesting. Well, yeah, 3 months before anything was even a problem, it was May 2015. I woke up in the middle of the night. You know, because he used to meow at us or and at me to wake me up, and sometimes he was ahead of schedule, you know. But I had a dream, and in my dream I was, and I don't sing, by the way, but in my dream I had this song, you know, about Einstein, you know, and there's no problem, it was just out of nowhere, so it just, it was like made me kind of happy, you know, because I was, I don't know, that's rare, you know, but I woke up, got up, and got my recorder, and just recorded the tune, just in case I forgot it, you know. I didn't know why I would ever need that or something, but it was kind of stuck in my head, though, for months. During that 6-day turnaround, I didn't, you know, sing it, the whole song to him or anything, but I did a little bit of it during that night that he made the turnaround. You know, we were just being real nice to him and, you know, singing stuff to him. By the way, there's a million things I forgot to say, but it's never going to be enough. Anyway, after, you know, he passed away, August 19th, I had another dream with words, like 6 lines for the words to that song. And so, I wrote it down. Anyway, I feel like it's brought me a lot of, it's been therapeutic, you know. I bought a guitar, by the way, 2 weeks after. I'm not good. I'm not a good singer, and I'm not a good player. But it's just I couldn't deny that the dream and the gift from Einstein to me, and I've watched some YouTube videos to learn some chords. I don't know very many chords. I'm okay playing this song and singing it. Even though I don't do that, I never did. You know, I'm not really a musical person. I mean, other than band, you know, in high school, I played drums and percussion in band. So I'm cool, you know, really cool. So enough about me, but I will, you know, take it or leave it. You can, if this helps anybody. If anybody enjoys this song, that's great. If anybody doesn't enjoy it, I don't care. Really, I don't. But here, I'm just gonna go ahead and show you. I don't know what you can say about it, but it's helped me. All right, and So, I have to, hang on 1 second. I gotta change the settings, because, I did a test, and, I think it's gonna work best if I put it so that the microphone is a bit closer to my stupid head. And so without further disclaimers, and if you don't judge me, I won't judge you judging. And I said no more disclaimers, so. I used to be alone. I had TV and a phone. But what I didn't know was that I was low. I'd need someone to call my own. Then on September 26, 2004, I let a couple of cats through my front door. By the end of the day, you both had a name. And as the pictures will say, life was never the same. You brought some color to my life. You led me to my pretty wife. You made me laugh, you made me cry. The way you'd look me in the eye. You really loved everything, like all the birds that would sing. You'd always follow us around to see what's happening. You would run up and down the hall when we would give you a call. I can still see this all. I can still feel your paws. You loved your Holmesy. You loved your Scroogey. You loved your Cookie and me. And especially Julie. And I love you, Einstein. I'll always love you, Einstein. Your brothers loved you, Einstein. Everyone loved you, Einstein. I love you, Einstein. You even loved your name, Einstein. I love you, Einstein. And I'll always love you till the end of time. When we would leave for the day, you would come over just to say that you'd be waiting by the door in your own little way. And every time we'd come home, you would be sure to show that you were happy to be loved and that it was mutual. Whenever people would come by, your personality would shine. You were the friendliest guy, and I was proud you were mine. From the first day that we met, I loved you way back then. You were my best friend to the end. I hope to see you again. I love you, Einstein. Every day that we played, we really had it made. I love you, Einstein. And for the rest of my days, my love will never fade. I love you, Einstein. And it's hard to believe that this would be the end. I love you, Einstein. And I'm counting the days till I can see you again. I love you, Einstein. Every day of your life, your personality shined. I love you, Einstein. Everyone in your life knew you were one of a kind. I love you, Einstein. You will always be mine. This was not goodbye. I love you, Einstein. And I'll always love you till the end of time. So that helps me. And I miss him. I'm always going to miss him. He was a real special cat. I'm okay to cry in front of whoever. I don't care. I really don't care. I love Einstein. And if you knew Einstein, you would love him too. Trust me. So thanks for listening. If you did, thanks for listening. There's not much else to say, except I hope that you can appreciate Einstein. That helps me to just know that if I've shared this with any single person, that makes me feel better somehow. So thank you. All right, that works. Hey Einstein. This is, I'm gonna start right away. Hey. Hey Einstein. I'm gonna start, now. So, and then, yeah, exactly. It's 6:30. Hey Einstein. It's 6:30. A lot of reasons why I want to do this. It's, mostly for me, but, hey Einstein. Come on. Come on. Do it. Jump up. Come on, boy. Lots of room. Come on. Up. Jump up, Einstein. So there's lots of reasons why some random person's going to come and listen to it, and they might be bored to tears, like, within a minute. I'm staring at a cat that wants to jump up on my lap. And he can when he wants to.
This has been a Point and Yell production. Hey, you guys is real nice for sitting there and listening to us.